Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Four Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok, and this is the show where we take something from Star Wars. You know, something, stuff, things we love. And we dive into the StarWars.com databank. We talk about it, celebrate it, maybe create some wonderful headcanon theories around the character, the planet, or the ship that we're talking about. We did a season of this on the great sci-fi app called The Companion. You can check it out and get our first season and a whole lot of other cool things over there, essays and more, podcasts, if you want. So check out The Companion. But now this is our storefront version, the public facing version of Databank Dive. Joseph, you have the helm today, and this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, just out in the window in front of everybody. Look at us. Look at us. I love that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm singing How Much Is That Doggy in the Window. That's all.
Well, you might have a different song that is appropriate for this particular episode of Databank Dive, where we discuss lots of things. The nouns of Star Wars. We'll see if we can discuss a verb. But mostly it's nouns, characters, places, things. And the Star Wars noun that we're going to be enjoying today is a character who will soon be returning to our screens, we believe. And that is Gungi. The Jedi Wookiee, the Jedi Padawan. I am saying Gungi, but I realize we have to embrace the controversy right away. This is a character who, in their first appearance in the Clone Wars, his name is said multiple different ways. So I say Gungi. Ken, what do you say?
I say Gungi, and I have to be a little more open to other interpretations of it, including Gungi. We talked about this recently in a Force Center podcast, where I'd run into someone who named their dog Gungi. I was like, well, you've made a huge mistake. that's not exactly correct.
I think Gungi is out there as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of dogs with the same name and their owners pronouncing it differently. Imagine if you ran into like three of those dogs on an LA street at once and the confusion of Gungi, Gungi, Gungi. Oh.
Well, at that point, if you've named your dog Gungi and Gungi and Gungi, you can't switch it. The dog's like, I don't care what the canon name is. I just care about that name.
I love interpreting a dog barking, going like, which pronunciation is canon? Just come on. Just decide, humans. Do you hope that this great controversy might be resolved or have some clarity? We know that Gungi, as I'm going to continue to call him, is going to appear in Bad Batch Season 2. We don't know exactly when in the season yet, but he is returning. Do you hope that there will be clarity on his name?
Yes, that's it's the first line he should say. Hi, I'm Ganongai.
Hi, I'm Ganongai, the Wookiee who speaks basic. How are you today?
Yeah.
That would be pretty shocking. We want to make this very clear. We are recording this, celebrating this wonderful character in anticipation of his upcoming appearance. Half of our questions, half of our thoughts might be blown out of the water by his next appearance. We're going to all find out together. We always like to start with the basic info. These episodes are called Databank Dive because we start with the literal databank found on StarWars.com. Here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Gungi. Once a rare example of a Wookiee in the Jedi Order, Gungi is also among the few to survive Order 66. As a youngling, Gungi was temperamental and expressive. During the time of the Clone Wars, he needed to learn to slow down his impulsive ways in order to pass the ancient rite of passage ritual known as the Gathering. Now that the Empire has taken hold, Gungi must stay hidden or risk being hunted by the Emperor and his minions. This is a rare example of, I think, of a database entry being updated for his upcoming appearance, which is absolutely great. Ken, why do you think it says once a rare example of a Wookiee in the Jedi Order? Is this just acknowledging that we have all learned about Bur Yaga, the Wookiee from the High Republic era?
I actually think it's right. I think it's almost a meta comment on the situation, right? Where you used to say that he might have been the example, even though we probably could have thought that there was others. And in fact, we'll read a quote that makes me think that though rare, they have been there before. But yes, I think it acknowledges Bur Yaga, who is a big fan base in the High Republic world. And I love this entry. This is almost where I have to say StarWars.com, spoilers, babe. Spoilers. What you doing to me? Yeah.
Yep, a pretty accurate depiction of some of his key emotional moments in the Gathering arc that introduced him in the Clone Wars. And then, yeah, man, I guess we know a little bit about where Gungi is starting out in the Bad Batch, that he is staying hidden like many Jedi. But will he come out of hiding? I kind of think so. We have more from Wikipedia, which is his quote that Ken is referencing. The great character, the ancient robot that helps younglings construct their lightsabers after they found their kyber crystals, voiced by David Tennant. Professor Yang says to Gungi, "A Wookiee, rare you are to the Jedi, proud your people must be." So yeah, this is an ancient robot, right? So like how many Wookiees do you think Professor Yang's seen? Are we talking like 17, 4? What are you going?
Yeah, I was going to put it in the realm of 25 and under. Just okay. Because Professor Wang's been around for a very long time.
So old, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So for him to say rare, it definitely means small amount. And I'm prepared to go as small as 15, but I'll take the 25 and go. I'll take the under.
There we go. The official Ken Knapsack headcanon. Up to 25 Wookiees, which means if we know Gungi and Briyaga in modern canon, we have up to 23 Wookiee Jedi. I mean,
the possibility.
The possibilities. Here's what Wikipedia says for the kind of their basic entry about Gungi. Gungi was a male Wookiee Jedi Padawan who trained to become a Jedi in the Jedi Order during the Clone Wars. During the war, Gungi and a group of five other younglings, Petro, Katooni, Biff, Ganoti, and Zat, were deemed to be at the top of their class. And led by Ahsoka Tano and Jedi Grandmaster Yoda, they traveled to Ilum to participate in the gathering, an ancient Jedi ritual that proved a youngling's readiness to become a Padawan. Gungi constructed a green bladed lightsaber of his own with a wooden hilt made from Brylark wood that he chose from amongst the Crucible's stored materials. Crucible being the ship that Professor Hiang hangs out on as he helps Jedi build their lightsabers. Not only was that just kind of a good review of his role in the Gathering arc, but also it listed the names of all those younglings that I struggled to remember.
Yes. Yes, I love that arc. We talked about a lot, but I love Katooni's my favorite, with Olivia Hatch voicing the "I'm Katooni" kind of kid's voice. It's my favorite thing. I love it.
Total Saturday morning cartoon kid voice with "I'm suffering from a cold," but yeah. Absolutely yeah. Love it. And Petro, the hot shot who thinks it's all about him. I love to be frustrated with Petro on every viewing. But the Brylark wood, that's a great reminder of Gungi's awesome lightsaber with the wood hilt, making it one of the more rare and interesting lightsaber hilt designs, in my opinion. So we got the big picture of who Gungi is. Now we're going to discuss, we're going to riff a little bit. To start, Ken, how did you first feel when you saw in canon a Wookiee Jedi in the Clone Wars? When you saw Gungi, was this a dream come true, or was this a shock to Star Wars canon? Did it disrupt the order in your mind?
Neither would apply. And somewhere in the warm, soft middles where I existed with this, where I do recall having a reaction to it, but it was like a, okay, didn't think about that. Which says a lot about me, but also says a lot about the galaxy's view of Wookiees. And I think it's a big lesson in Gungi we'll talk about more here today. But yeah, so it was nice in the middle, which is a good spot to be, because there was no angry car driving around, and at the time would have been my old Infinity. I hadn't been holding on for so long that my heart was broken year after year after year when there's no new in-canon Wookiee Jedi. And it was just, I was open to it. But I did have a reaction of like, never thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a ton of sense. And I realize with all of the amount of books and comics, I'm sure there's been some other Wookiee Jedi stories. But for me, Gungi was when the dream finally became a reality. I had been so enjoying watching Clone Wars, just power watching it on Netflix back in 2014. And it seemed like around this period, every arc became more amazing than the last one. I loved this arc. And I was like, finally, a Wookiee Jedi on my screen. Because this is one of those like slight age difference things between us, Ken. You know, Empire Strikes Back comes out. My brother's 3 years older, so he drove a lot of this conversation. It would have been absolute viral sensation. Now, that question of the conversation between Yoda and Obi-Wan in Empire Strikes Back of he's our last hope. No, there is another, right? Mm-hmm. Now that would be 8,000 podcast episodes and YouTube shorts and all that. For me back then, it was just my brother every once in a while going, who's the other? And we would run down the list. And I remember being like, you know, it's an outside of the box choice, but it could be Chewbacca. And people being like, no, Chewie can't be a Jedi. Like, why not? And I think it was just some harsh judgment on Wookiees that Chewie couldn't be. So I'd been waiting for it for years. And I admit, you know, I don't need Wookiees to be violent. That's not the total sum definition of who they are. But I remember being entertained by the idea that they could, that Gungi could rip an arm out of their sockets with the Force. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's a great Force power when you're done a video game.
So painful. So awful. How would you physically describe Gungi?
This is hilarious. To help me with that, I went to the Wikipedia page. I recommend all of you stop the podcast and do that right now. Because when you try to describe Gungi, the first picture that pops up looks like an elementary school photo. It's from basically neck up, upper chest up. He's got that big Gungi smile, all teeth, smiling. And you can almost see that he's chosen the laser package for his elementary school photos behind him. It's fascinating. Head up, nose up, yeah.
The only thing it's missing is like a hair comically out of place because he looks like, yes, this is a second grade class photo.
Second grade class photo indeed. So, a classical Wookiee, he's got his coloring fur, not unlike Chewbacca's, because you could have gone a different direction with that. Look at Kersen. He's got different coloring. But he looks like a younger version of Chewbacca. But the other photo, and this is, I think, from the one from Bad Batch from the trailer. So he's grown a little bit, but I'd still describe him as slightly shorter and maybe a little more stockier than the Chewie that we've all come to know and love, which does speak to Wookiee, not one template there in Wookieville and Kashyyyk. A lot of different shapes and sizes as well. And so I've always liked that about Gungi. I'm a little bit more of a cart puller myself, and I think Gungi falls into that. A little more broad shoulders, a little more squat, but he's still a Wookiee. But even in this photo where he's got the lightsaber out, this is again from the Bad Batch trailer, there's still a warmth in his face.
There is. I really hadn't done the deep compare contrast between the images of him from the Clone Wars and the images in upcoming Bad Batch. And it's pretty amazing. I think your physical description is spot on. He is Chewbacca reminiscent. I kind of think of him as Lumpy with a lightsaber because it is that youthful Wookiee still figuring out the world. Whereas, Chewbacca's been around. He's been around the galaxy a few hundred times, at 200 or so. But if I was just trying to capture the essence of Gungi, I was going to say he's a living smile because
that's great.
Chewie's so warm, right? You love Chewbacca in all his appearances, but in the original trilogy in particular. But and you hear him laughing and those amazing eyes. But functionally, I don't think he was just like full on smiling. And Gungi in the Clone Wars is just like, he's got some ups and downs, but he's just smiling all the time. He's such a happy little Wookiee. So I was already describing him as just a living smile. Then I'm looking at these pictures from Bad Batch. Not only does he have a different look on his face, he's got more armor. He's got a big chunk of armor on his shoulder. He's looking like he's been through a lot in a short time. That's a Wookiee warrior.
Yes, indeed. A living smile. That was great. That's a t-shirt for him.
Excellent. So we know the basics of Gungi. We know what he looks like. I like trying to get to the heart of Gungi. For you, what is ultimately the magic of him? Why were so many fans falling in love with him for the Clone Wars? And why are so many fans so excited to see this character return in Bad Batch Season 2?
Overall, I'll say that there's just this magic expanding the possibilities in Star Wars. And there's this great lesson to have in Gungi. You and I had, though you had some dreams come true with this character, but even your conversation about, hey, maybe it could be Chewbacca. Me going, oh, I never thought about that. Even George, there's that some of the stuff of George Lucas kind of saying, no Wookiees as Jedis. I've come back to that. No, let's try this. I forget the exact quotes or beats of those stories, but they're there. But I think some of the magic with Gungi is you have Chewbacca. We admittedly didn't have too much knowledge about the Wookiee culture growing up. Holiday special notwithstanding, it wasn't until a little bit later in Expanded Universe stuff. But you got Chewbacca, who is absolutely a whiz pilot. He's fixing the Falcon. He's doing everything everyone else can. But you have this tendency to, you don't understand his culture. You don't understand him. So there's a language barrier. And there is a tendency sometimes with us humans, unfortunately, to less than them. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what's going on here. And so I, no malicious intent on my part, but you see Gungi and go, well, I would never thought someone as primitive as the Wookiee. Well, hold on. The Wookiees aren't primitive. That's a bias sliding in there. So Gungi represents, everyone matters. Everyone has a possibility. The Force doesn't care about the silly boundaries you're putting up, or the Force doesn't care about the boundaries you even put it up around Chewbacca. There is a quality here and therefore more possibilities. And I really do think Gungi later on represents that for a lot of folks. It represents a lesson for me again, no malicious intent on my part, but just simply put Wookiees into a category.
Mm-hmm.
They fly wooden ships. That's all I know. I couldn't fly them, but they can. But therefore, I'm better than them because I don't understand them. I can't speak their language. I don't understand their culture. So therefore, less than. I think it's important. I think Gungi, and that's part of the reason. Plus, he's just so darn cute. Come on, he's a living smile, like you just said. So to know that he has survived, that we're going to find out why. But I think that does matter. That one of the only examples of a Wookiee Jedi was not simply killed off screen. We're not even going back to get that story of his demise. He's still alive. And that means a lot. We'll see what happens. Have to be open to it. Story goes on where there's less and less Jedi around, or less and less Jedi calling themselves Jedi. We get that. But this is still exciting times right after the fall. And it represents more possibilities expanded in Star Wars.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think you said a lot of great things. I think it's easy to look at characters and even just kind of you meet one specific character like Chewbacca. And Chewbacca is, for all of his amazing traits and moments in the original trilogy, he's the sidekick, right? He's George Lucas with his beloved dog. And this is Han flying around his, you know, spaceship, which is, you know, basically a cool modded out car with his big dog who's smart enough to fix the ship. And you can kind of be like, oh yeah, Wookiees, yeah, they're on the sideline, they're cool, right? But you know, they mostly just watch Diane Carroll videos and live in trees, like that's that's what they do, right? I think you said it so well of Star Wars's story that you know, everybody matters, every culture matters, the Force doesn't believe in our silly boundaries. Extremely well said. I think there's that just celebration because he is a Wookiee. And Wookiees can be Jedi too, is so great. But then I think it goes a lot to me. The magic of him is the way he's presented is in that Clone Wars arc. I think because we don't necessarily understand everything he growls in his own Shirowic language, he's a character who's kind of stripped down to core emotions, right? We see him be really happy, really excited and joyful to be there, then really impatient, then really scared when things go down, then really brave and a great acrobat when they pretend to join that circus, right? He's stripped down to these core emotions. And I think that's sometimes extremely relatable and extremely likable because it takes a weird fantasy character, a Jedi Wookiee, and makes him incredibly relatable, right? Of, we know what it's like to feel impatient. We know what it's like to feel scared and to feel joyful. Yeah. And it seems like joyful is his natural state. And then we're watching him be pulled away from that. And we just want to get him back to keep smiling, Gungi. Keep smiling.
Keep smiling. Yeah, no, I love it. One of the other things, I think some of the stuff that we're talking about, just our real world perspective on Wookiees or even other people in our own world, the lesson to take from. I do think that holds true in Star Wars. I think even Professor Hwang's kind of addressing that in a weird way of maybe the galaxy has not given the Wookiees the chance. And here's Gungi representing all of that.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, it's a heavy burden to carry for Gungi, and he wants to do it with a smile.
Yeah. And he does. And he does. And then I think the magic of him coming back is, you know, Clone Wars show was always haunted with, it's so great to spend time with all these Jedi who are probably gonna die. And so to watch that gathering arc with those children and think, oh man, I feel like Star Wars fans who like Gungi and are aware of him have lived for years now with the, I don't think I even want to know what happened to Gungi, right?
Yeah.
So to finally know that he survived Order 66. That's thrilling. I don't know what his fate holds. I have high hopes. But it's also just like, and then it's that one clip of him where he growls and he ignites his blade, right?
Yeah.
There's that righteous feeling from Gungi as well of the Empire's bad. They're doing bad things. This poor Wookiee who used to smile about everything has been forced to endure hell. And man, maybe some of that Wookiee oomph is going to be brought to bear on the Empire. Like, oh no, oh, you messed up. You pissed off Gungi.
Wookiee oomph. Built Wookiee tough. Wookiee oomph.
Exactly. We are very excited. We're just starting to talk about Gungi. Talked about some big picture stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk even more Gungi in a moment.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we are back to continue diving into Gungi. We talked about some big picture stuff, so we're just going to have some Gungi fun as we investigate deeper into this great Wookiee Jedi. So, Ken, it's right there in his story, it's in his database entry, that Gungi struggles with patience issues. Is that why it's rare for Wookiees to be Jedi? Like, I don't want to judge across the across all Wookiees by any means. But Chewie can have a temper, right? Mm-hmm. Is that a part of Wookiee culture that there's an energy where Wookiees, like, they get up and they go and they do things and they, you know, they're open with their emotions? And is that a challenge for Wookiees becoming Jedi because they're asked to slow down? They're asked to not, have a temper?
Wonderful question with an insightful look at what could be really going on in the Star Wars galaxy. I love this idea and that... I am both a pretty patient person and then tremendously impatient, who has a tendency to rage. Like, it's a long fuse, big explosion problem. And I think if you were to put me into, like, I can't meditate for bleep. I can't. Like, 2 seconds in, I'm like, nope, not for me. Can't do it. Like, I can imagine there's some hard wiring going on, right? Mm-hmm. Wookiees. I'm with you too. You don't want to generalize the Wookiees. That's one of the big points you and I have been talking about here today. But there's some hard wiring maybe at play. And maybe that's they have to work beyond that. Not rise above it, but grow with it. And how can they use that to their advantage as, and the Jedi are asking, that's some hard stuff to ask. Sit there, be patient. When not to fight is more important than when to fight. And I'm not saying Wookiees can't figure out the difference. Clearly they can. I think that's a great way to look at it. And that could lead to some of it as well, that even if a Wookiee has the Force, maybe they aren't allowed to develop it. Maybe they approach it in a different way. And maybe it's just a wall they keep running up against. I'm trying to be patient, but I'm really angry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I so agree with you. It's like, I often, in specific situations where I'm prepared ahead of time to say, okay, this is going to require patience. This is a challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll be patient. I can usually be patient. And then sometimes the patience goes out the window, and that's the times like, wow, it'd be hard to be a Jedi, right? So if you were, you know, really raised in a culture where forward movement, let's go, come on, let's get things done. Yep. Let's climb that tree. Let's take care of business, right? If that was a part of your culture, man, it would be hard to be like, and now let's send our infant off to this slow, slow, thoughtful temple. You know, and I love that scene of Gungi where it's like, I want to do right. I did what I'm supposed to. I found my kyber crystal. Now I have to wait for the ice to freeze over. Oh.
Yeah. Right.
It's extremely relatable. So I'm thinking a lot about if it's rare for Wookiees to be in the Jedi Temple. And it is a big part of their culture to live with trees, to be interacting with nature. Do you think baby Gungi was allowed to climb the sacred Uneti tree in the Jedi Temple courtyard?
I think the answer is yes, but it wasn't always the case within the Jedi Order. I think this speaks to Jedi that have come before. Maybe there's something we'll learn from Buryaga. Actually, probably be before that, where, you know, there was probably some, hey, that's the sacred Uneti tree. We can't have a little Wookiee climbing up there. And then they realize, well, this is truly a part of him. It's a part of his expression, part of comfort. Now we get to issues of attachment and all that kind of wonderful stuff. The hard questions that I have to answer. But I think they're, you know, he's not doing it right now. But I think early on, it's possible that they allowed him to do it because they wanted him to, feel a little bit connected to nature, more than just his culture, but to nature.
Yeah, no, I can see a baby Gungi just running away from the group and going for the tree, and Mace Windu being like, no.
right.
And then Yoda or Terra Snube being like, well, no, but that everybody's different, and that's what he needs. The tree has survived for this long. He's not attacking it. He's communing with it. This is a whole children's story about Gungi and the Uneti tree. But there could be that temple's so big. I wonder if there is a room full of trees for the various species who interact with trees more often.
Yeah, that's it. It's the, now you open up some world of possibilities. There's many levels in that Jedi temple.
Yeah, the living Jedi jungle gym. That's what I want to be in the Jedi temple there. You brought up attachment. Clearly, attachment to family, that's a big part of Wookiee tradition we've seen, as well as forming these life debts like Chewie has with Han. As a Jedi, do you think Gungi would be allowed to form a life debt?
This is a million-dollar question. This is a great question. My thought is no initially, but, and maybe the Jedi Order that we are introduced to in the prequels would just be like, no, that's absolutely not. But maybe along the way, there's, again, some analysis going on of what that truly means. View it as some for debt attachment, that kind of negative connotation. But really it's a celebration of honor, relationships, community. There's a lot of positive things to take from it. And that I think they would be curious to explore. The Jedi Order would be like, all right, the Gungi's just come to us with this information. He has a life debt. What does that mean for us?
Yeah.
What does it mean for the Jedi?
Yeah. And
what is the why of the debt?
Yeah. I think this goes to some of the deep issues that Anakin Skywalker is wrestling with in Attack of the Clones, right? There's the scene on the refugee ship where, you know, Padme is saying it must be hard, you know, to not be able to love. And Anakin's like, well, you know, we're supposed to care about the entire galaxy. So in a way, you could say we're trained to love. And it comes off as Anakin trying to be like, if I turn the rule this way, I can totally be with you, Padme.
Yeah.
But I also think there is like a depth of philosophy to it, because that the Jedi idea isn't to be detached from everyone and not care about people. The whole point is to care about people. So I can see a very deep philosophical conversation of like, Gungi, you have, as a Jedi, you have the biggest life debt there is. You have a life debt to the entire galaxy.
Because
promising yourself to help somebody else. And like, you know, if Gungi and Chewie ever overlap in the timeline, which we don't know, right? I can see somebody wise saying to Gungi, like, do you see the way Chewie is making sacrifices to protect this idiot? As a Jedi, you've made the choice to see the entire galaxy is this bumbling human fool. Help them when they're needed.
Yeah, that could work. I like this.
Yeah.
You have life debt to the galaxy, so it's a great way to start.
More for our Gungi children's book. Do you think Chewbacca knows about Gungi? Is he always talking to people about Gungi, but no one is listening?
I would, in the past, I might have said, nah, but I think my answer is yes, simply because I love, there's a lot of fun areas to kind of poke Star Wars in a fun, teasing way. Unfortunately, people use those as thinking they're insightful criticisms of the franchise, but there's just these fun little wrinkles. And one of them for me is Han's over there going, Jedi Force, what is this junk? And Chewie's in the corner going, oh yeah, they were pretty cool. I fought with them. And he does, you know, we never hear those conversations. We never get to hear that. And so I love that Chewie's like, well, no, there's this guy I met, Gungi. I met him, you know, before I actually was on Kessel. Like, I ran into him. He's cool. Yeah. And that Chewie's kind of saying, like, see, you all overlook us, but Gungi's out there representing us in the Jedi, or did at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're focusing on Gungi. Chewbacca could know about a Buryaga as well, certainly, but this is our Gungi episode. I'm sure we'll do a Buryaga episode. But yeah, I really like the idea that there's lots of things that Chewbacca knows, and I think he tells Han. Han's just not the greatest listener. And I really love the idea that, you know, you and I have some headcanon for specific things that Chewie's roaring, right? Or like, where he's like, come on, Han. But I love the idea. Every time Han's like, the Force, I've never seen any evidence of it. And Chewbacca's like, I've told you about Gungi 800 times.
800 times.
You listening, man?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Every time the Force brings up. I think I love that joke in The Simpsons where Homer Simpson can't stop talking about the Blue Man Group. I believe that's what Chewbacca's like about Gungi. So, big important question. How do you feel about, I don't know if it's a fan theory, more like a fan hope. How do you feel about the idea that it was Gungi who rescued Grogu from Order 66?
I don't want that. I don't know why, though. I can't qualify that answer. I don't know why. There's a lot of, Barriss is an option too, right? I think that they're out there. I get it. It's a good answer. Talking about more of the rare beans as Jedi and there's something in that. Gungi, his strength is his just natural powers as a Wookiee against advancing clone troopers would be probably an epic battle. I'd love to see. So I don't know why. I'm searching my heart. I don't know why I'm against it. I mean, I'm going to be open to it. I know they're, you know, I think Filoni's he's a fan of Gungi, clearly. So I could see that, but he's also a fan of a lot of other characters too. So, you know, end of the day, it just might be Ahsoka sneaking the back door of the temple and doing it. I'm open to it, but I don't want it. I don't know why. I'm asking myself, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think it could be a character we never met. I love connections in Star Wars, but I don't need them unless they're important to the story. Maybe it will be revealed in Bad Batch Season 2 exactly how Gungi survived Order 66. And the important thing to me is that, you know, it's a meaningful story for Gungi, or it's meaningful to Grogu's story, who got him out. I think that's what I feel about it. I love the characters. I love their kind of connection rarer, more on the outside of, you know, not as regular, you know, species to be involved in the Jedi Order, which is, you know, great and fascinating, as we've talked about. I think it's also just that they're two characters that fans love.
Yeah.
It's not like romantic shipping. It's like this other kind of putting them together, like, of wanting these two great characters to have survived together. I also, this is one of those times where, Ken, I had to just take a moment and step back. And like, we get to function where we talk to lots of other people who love Star Wars and know a lot about it. Can you imagine saying to a human who doesn't really know much about Star Wars, like, yeah, I know, I've seen those movies, I like that Darth Vader. Imagine saying to somebody like that, do you think Gungi rescued Grogu from Order 66? And imagining what the hell they might think you're talking about.
Exactly. Wait, Gungi and Grogai? What are you talking about?
What are you? Is this Pokemon stuff? What are you talking about? We always like to wrap it up by making it personal, bringing the Star Wars into our life. So, Ken, Gungi made his lightsaber hilt out of wood relating to his home planet. If you had to use some unique material important to you and in your home, how would you build your lightsaber?
A lot of people who maybe follow me along on some things might say, well, Lego, right? And build a lightsaber out of Lego. But here's one that's a little bit more honest. Frozen burritos at a tortillas. It would have the technical stuff on the inside, and then you would wrap it in tortillas, somehow spray on some kind of preservative, and then tie it down, and then have a burrito saber.
A burrito saber.
It's more true to my life. I had one today, and I'm going to have one for dinner.
So, the future planning happening right here, folks. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I want a bottle opener. I want to be able to use my lightsaber to stand for peace and justice and to help people who need help. And then I also want to know, hey, if nobody else remembered to bring a bottle opener, I want to be able to pop open people's drinks.
Yep. That's needed. Needed.
Yes. I just want to help. Here's my final question. If Gungi was real, how would you show him a good time in Los Angeles?
Look, you got to be careful of your biases here. You really do. Cause my initial reaction is, well, there's some great spots to hike in Griffith Park, and Gungi might be like, I get it. I spent my whole youth hiking. Let's go to the city. I want to go to the Comedy Store patio and drink, man. Like, so I'd have to, cause it's like, I grew up again. I could see the beach from my house. I'm not a beach person, right? Cause it was there the whole time. I'd rather go into the wilderness up to the, not hike, go to a cabin in the woods. So I got to be careful. The Gungi's got to teach me a lot. But yes, that's I'd ask him, but I'd have both options. We can go, look, you want to go downtown or you want to go to the Sunset Strip? We can do that. Or I can take you to some beautiful chain restaurants in Burbank. He might like that. Gungi at Wood Ranch, Burbank. There you go. That's a winner.
Yeah, no, I love this. My wife and I like going to this series that happens in the summer called The Last Remaining Seats, where they show old movies in these great old vaudeville and early movie theater palaces in downtown Los Angeles. Maybe Gungi wants that. Maybe he's like, yeah, let me climb there.
I'll climb
that old movie theater. But yeah. My main answer is I know the way that you entertain a lot of people come to Los Angeles. I'd take them to Smokehouse. Look, I love that steak Sinatra dish, and I think Gungi would too. That's the bottom line.
He would love that garlic cheese toast.
Oh, my, yeah, he would just devour it. It would be great. Great.
Talk about smiles on faces.
Well, we're going to rate the wild and weird and wondrous factor of Gungi. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Gungi?
This is so difficult because I actually almost want to make a protest vote of one, being like, he's not weird, nothing weird about this at all. But I also am someone who wants to celebrate uniqueness and celebrate what it means, celebrate barrier breakers. So therefore, he's almost, in terms of the Jedi Order, he might be a 10, but I'm going to settle somewhere nice in the warm middle to like a 6.5.
That is solid. I had the same wrestling match that you just did, but I kind of went with like, okay, where does all this start out with? It starts with Chewbacca, and it starts with this idea of let's give this roguish cool guy this kind of co-pilot that's based on this fantasy of what if your buddy, what if your dog was totally sentient and could talk to you and tell you when you're screwing up in life? Mm-hmm. So to go all the way from that to no, he's deeply connected with the Force. He has a lightsaber. His name is Gungi. We love him. Like it's just so beautifully bonkers, the evolution of it all. I'm going 9 out of 10.
I love it. I think there's almost no wrong answer. 0 could have worked because like, nope, be damned. He's not weird, but I think you got to celebrate that.
Yeah. Well, this has been a great conversation about Gungi. We try to keep these episodes to around 30 minutes. We broke it a little bit for Gungi because that's how much we love him. Can't wait to see him back on our screens. You can find links to all things Force Center on our Twitter at Force Center Pod. Ken, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me at Kednapsuck or Kednapsuck.com. Got a lot of cool new things going for 2023, including my show, The Blathering on the Knapsack Network podcast feed.
And you can find me on all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and check out my YouTube channel. Search for Joseph Scrimshaw there. But for now, those are feelings. Those are feelings on Gungi, however you choose to say this wonderful Wookiee's name. This has been Databank Dive.